This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm Sharad Kutan, and with me, Julian Ng, with the top business stories of the day. We have a look at India's new monetary panel. They have just announced lower rates as part of their first decision. Now, also we have in the mix Google. After iPhone users with its own pricey, well, some would suggest, Pixel smartphones. And also Ericsson announces job cuts in Sweden of up to 3,000 individuals. So quite substantial there. Julian, this new monetary panel set up, I think, coming out of also the stepping down of the old governor, Raghuram Rajan. Why was this panel? I mean, for us who don't understand Indian the Indian architecture around regulations, why a monetary panel?
So this is, of course, a new panel that's being set up by the new governor, Urjit Patel, who took over from Raghuram Rajan, the very illustrious Raghuram Rajan. Well,
the rock star of central banker.
Of central bankers, if you can imagine one. And I think that there is really nothing ground shaking about this new panel. It's just that they want to make the decision making on interest rates a lot more collegial. It's the kind of thing that the United States does with the Federal Open Market Committee meetings, otherwise known as the FOMC meeting, which we'll be talking about today in the S&M show, right? This committee, you see, it's not just Janet Yellen herself making that decision on interest rates. It's a collective decision made by a bunch of Fed, what they call Fed presidents that come from all the states in America. So they provide their own input into the decision making of where interest rates should go, and this would ultimately affect the economy. And so I think this is just a way to formalize the decision making process. It's not that I think that Raghuram Rajan was dictatorial in his style and made decision on his own. I think this is just a formalization of that cooperation among all the committee members.
I mean, one of the things you do get from reading the newspapers, even if you're not interested in, you know, finance and banking, is that names start to stick in your mind. Alan Greenspan, and he just becomes, and you think that he must be the most powerful man in the world.
Showing your age, right? Alan Greenspan was 20 years ago.
Yeah, but he held that position for a very,
very
long,
powerful and with wide ranging impacts on the world,
right,
as well.
So these individuals become kind of charismatic. They become kind of maybe invested with more powers than they actually do. So you're saying that the process is actually much more collegial than it might appear as the media presents, you
exactly.
know. So the new name, of course, would be Janet Yellen.
Yep, exactly. And of course, one of the first decisions is to lower interest rates, which is usually what people like. You know, the interest rate reduction is usually met with a healthy dose of happiness from market participants, because lower interest rates is good for stocks, and not to mention possibly for the economy as well. But, you know, India is one of the highest growing nations in the world today, with a growth of over 7%. You don't get that anywhere else in the world. Even when we talk about places like Vietnam, which is also growing very strongly, that they are growing around the 6% odd level. So this is coming at a time when growth rates are very strong in India, and inflation, although on its way down, is also quite worrying because India has right now an inflation rate of between 6 and 7%, really. Their target is 4% for the next 5 years. So lowering interest rates is counterproductive to what's happening with the economy and where they want inflation to go.
So that's, you know, a really complex statement of what's happening there. I understand with interest rates. I mean, if you lower interest rates, of course, money's going to flow into the equity market because you can probably get better returns there. Is that the logic of it?
Exactly.
Okay, if America
lower interest rates is good for stocks.
Right.
Which you can tell from what happened to the American markets over the last 7 or 8 years. They have just gone gangbusters, and interest rates have gone the other way. It's almost zero now. And in fact, in many parts of the world, interest rates are negative.
Right. So lower interest rates in America would help emerging markets in Southeast Asia. Well, okay. So no big surprises there. A bit of background on Urjit. Mr. Yale, London, Oxford, very well qualified, it looks like, And so we look to what he does, whether he will provide any rock star quality to his tenure.
Make his stamp on the central banking world, which right. I'm sure must be rocking. The kind of world where you imagine, you know, people in suits.
I think Raghuram, just that he was young and somewhat dashing. Okay.
Right.
So there you we have a story with Google and their Pixel smartphones making a bid for the same market as iPhone users.
Yeah, I think this is really very interesting because Google is not coming out with a cheap phone. It's coming out with an expensive phone that attacks that premium market, you know, the kind of domain that Apple and Samsung are very famous for, and they fight head to head on that space. And now Google is coming in after having supplied their operating system to the rest of the world with cheap Chinese phones that use the Android platform to sell these very cheap phones, the sub 1,000 renminbi market that opens up the phone world to 1.3 billion Chinese around the world, right? But very surprising that Google is going into this premium market. And also after having recently abandoned the so-called Project Ara, which was to come up with the modular design phones. You know, you can fix jigsaw puzzle your phones with intention of
cost. With widgets, is it?
Yeah, of making your the cost of your phone ownership over the long term much cheaper. You don't have to replace entire phones. You can just buy modules to fix into your phones. They abandoned the project, you know, to democratize phone ownership. And now they're coming out with a phone to challenge Apple. And I guess taking advantage of recently Samsung's exploding phones, I guess.
Well, okay, Samsung exploding phones, it's like I own a Samsung, so I'm a bit wary of, you know, carrying them around.
Not all models, just that one model.
Okay, but more importantly, is this just a logical game for companies to play? You have different, the market is segmented. You're going to go for all segments in the market potentially. You played down market, so why not go for the premium? Is this any surprise that they've taken these steps?
I'm not surprised at it, and I have no doubt that Google will be able to do a good job in coming up with a phone that can challenge. I mean, there's a huge amount of creativity within the company. They have this thing called the Moonshot. I'm sure a lot of us have heard of this. This is where employees, they shoot for the moon. They come up with the best products that they can come up with. And there is also a quote from the head of Android who says that premium is a very important category. It's where Apple is also very strong. Is there room for another player there? We think so. That's his exact quote. And so therefore, they want to go into this segment.
I mean, for people observing what's happening in this market, are we seeing real innovation? Are we seeing kind of incremental changes, fashion, you know, kind of designy elements coming? What really is driving that sector? I mean, you know, is there substance to the kind of changes, or is it all about fashion?
Well, I'm not a technology analyst, but I can say that the advent of the smartphones almost 10 years ago, actually, has it been that long already?
Since the smartphone came out? Probably not.
Has changed our lives in profound ways, don't you think?
And yeah, I can tell you. Not always good.
And I can tell you that the supply chain is huge, right? Because it's not just Apple or Samsung making phones, is the entire economies and ecosystem of the supply chains. For example, Google will have to source from the same people that give Apple their parts. So for example, Foxconn in China, and HTC. These are the guys in very faraway lands like Taiwan and China that are buying into the supply chain. And so these support entire industries and economies very far away here in Asia Pacific. Even Malaysia, to a limited extent, is part of that ecosystem as well.
I mean, one of the things, well, you know, we'll come back to that another day about these supply chains and things like the TPP. Moving on, Ericsson slashes 3,000 jobs in Sweden.
Yeah, I think this is just reflective of the wider economy. It's not doing very well, and we know that things are slowing down. And what more with a company like Ericsson, who is in that phone business as well and losing out to a lot of the major phone producers, but also are involved in technology, and there is very strong competition in that segment, especially from the players in China.
Well, we'll come up with more top business stories after this. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.